Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today.
Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. It is Lunes, Monday. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, rayandtaytoday.com. Send us your email. We want to hear about what you think about the NBA, college, even the Grammys. We'll have fun with that. rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We're all over social media. Ray, let's have some fun. Kick the Grammys around for a hot second before we get into a hoops show. Adele, big winner, song and album of the year, 5 Grammys. I think Chance the Rapper got 3, including new artist of the year, which was huge. I think he set a record in the sense that he's never released an album. He's only streamed. So that's big for the music industry in terms of it being something different. Overall, I guess for me, I thought it was an action-packed, solid Grammys. James Gordon, amazing host. He's just super funny and talented. From Lady Gaga to Adele, her stopping the George Michael tribute, which was so emotional. I'm a big George Michael fan. And then restarting it. Beyonce, Tribe Called Quest, real hip hop at the Grammys. It just, and then when you have Morris Day in the time, I didn't love Bruno so much because I don't want anybody copying Prince and dressing like Prince. That's a little weird for me.
But that was a tribute.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's like Prince's body's still warm, right? I don't know. I just feel like Bruno, to me, I think he's trying to move into that lane too much, and I want him to stay in his own lane. Just my opinion. Overall, I thought it was a great Grammys, and I did think Beyonce, like Adele said, should have got Album of the Year for Lemonade. I love Hello, but 25's not her best album and not a great album at all. Overall, what did you think about the Grammys?
Thought it was a very enjoyable show. The storyline going in was Beyonce versus Adele in that football, baseball, basketball paradigm, right? But it turns out that with the 3 tributes, it became more of a community show. You know what I mean? It became more of like we're the recording artists, we're the music industry, we're coming together, we're playing tribute to the 3, you know, I don't say they're all icons, but you know, the 3 people that really shaped, you know, a few decades worth of music in Prince, George Michael, even Fife Dog, across different genres. So I really enjoyed the show. And like you said, James Corden is a great host. He bows out when he needs to, but he loves music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's other people that are, you know, funny and comedic, but he loves music. He's a comedian. He's got the funny, you know, bones in him. But you could tell deep in his heart, he loved to be, and he's done stuff, in acting and singing and stuff like that. But he was great, and I just thought that it was a very entertaining way to pull everybody together. And I thought it was one of the better shows of all types, you know. Grammys, Tonys, Emmys, you know, that sort of thing. Because it's a tough show because there's so many performances. You know, because in the Oscars and the SAG Awards, there's a lot of speeches. But here, it's more performances. So you kind of have to balance kind of the speech with the performance. I thought it was a very, very good show.
They knocked it out the park. And you make a great point about James Gordon. I can honestly say, because the Grammys, sometimes they get a little lazy. I think LL Cool J kind of hosted it a couple years. I would vote right now for James Gordon to host it, give him like a 3-year contract, because you feel that he loves music. He knows everybody's lyrics. You know, as we know in his, you know, taxi cab or his car ride, you know, thing.
Carpool.
Carpool. It's so funny, right? And And it looks like he's got a deal with Apple Music where he's going to have a whole series of carpool stuff and, you know, get into different genres of music. But you were right. You feel it as a fan watching it. He made it a better night. So, hey, you know, tip your hat to them. I was happy for my seven-year-old son, his favorite group, 21 Pilots. They won Stressed Out, won for, like, I guess one of the pop singles of the year or something. So, great song and good group. And David Bowie beat out 21 Pilots, their song Heathens from Suicide Squad soundtrack. David Bowie won an award. So good for him, even though it seems like it's 2 years, a year and a half later. That was kind of awkward, but, you know, whatever. So good show. I think now it's really time to chop into some of this, Ray. Where are we at? Come on.
Now time for NBA Talk.
So let's work our way backwards. We'll get to Durant and Westbrook, Ray. I want to focus on the game. I thought it was annoying that it was great to see Spike Lee wearing the Oakley jersey. I thought it was a little, you know, since we went off the air, you know, Dolan was on Michael Kay's show on Friday afternoon and yada, yada, yada. But I just thought it was kind of cheesy and sad, almost pitiful for Dolan to have Sprewell back at the game, who he stuck his tongue out at him, what, 13 years ago, and he hasn't been back in the Garden. And to then, you know, also have him sitting with LJ and Bernard King, because he knew he would be on ABC with the Spurs and didn't want to get tremendously booed again. But besides that, thought people are not giving enough love to a struggling Knicks team that, you know, beat a Spurs team. And I get it. It could be Melo's last game. And most Knicks fans now, Ray, just want to lose and get a better draft pick. But I would say it's hard for me to just, you know, sit there and say, yeah, Knicks lose. And I was happy. I thought Melo played great, 21 in the second half, 25 points. And I won't be surprised if Melo stays and they move Derrick Rose. But overall, disappointed in Dolan, but glad that the Knicks fans got to see and cheer on Sprewell, who was a great Knick for a short run. What are your thoughts?
So I'm firmly in the camp that the Knicks need to rebuild. They need to get more talented. You can always get younger. So you need about two or three more Kristaps Porzingis's on the team. And I'm not sure Kristaps Porzingis you can build around. I'm not sure you win a title with Kristaps Porzingis, but he's a very good, you know, solid piece to the puzzle. So in this draft, which is going to have a tremendous amount of potential, a lot of young kids coming out, size, guards, you know, swingmen. It's a great draft.
Yeah.
You want to be in the lottery. So as a Knicks fan, I hate to say this, and because, you know, one of our good callers to the show, Hank, who's a Miami Dolphins fan, says, you know, once you start getting in that downward spiral and you start losing, you don't want to lose for the sake of losing. And then you got on the other hand of the spectrum, the Philadelphia 76ers trust the process. But I think Knicks would be better off with more talent. And I think the way that we get talent in the NBA, unless you're the Miami Heat, you know, and you can sign in the same offseason, you know, you can sign Chris Bosh and LeBron James. You need to get it by drafting. So I would like to see the Knicks make the playoffs, miss the playoffs, be in the lottery. As far as Carmelo, I think for his sake, he needs to go somewhere else. I mean, we talked about this off air. He likes New York. He likes the lifestyle. But you know what? If in that draft class, Dwayne Wade, and they're all friends, right? If Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are the only ones of those friends to have, I guess Bosch is part of that crew, but
yeah.
Melo needs a title. Chris Paul,
the other friend.
Drafted the year after, he needs a title. These guys need titles, really. And I'm not saying to define them. They're great players. They're great players.
Yeah.
But when they're 45, 50 years old, when they're kicking it with their friends, those other guys, and they have multiple rings, and they don't, Carmelo and Chris Paul in particular, they're going to be kicking themselves. And you know what? Barkley and
you. Man, you want to put some jewelry on the table? You want to throw down some jewelry on the table?
Yeah, like Mike Drop, put the jewelry on the table. you can hear all you want from Barkley and Ewing and Malone and Stockton. And all
they
these
all
guys.
Want one badly.
They
yeah.
want one so badly. And, yeah, they're all Hall of Famers, and, yeah, they're all great players. But you know what? They're missing something in their own mind. They would have loved to have won. And especially Carmelo, who won as a freshman at Syracuse, right? So he tasted it.
Yeah.
Tasted it. You could argue that Stockton, Malone, Barkley, and Ewing all went to an NBA Finals. So at least they can reminisce about the one, and in case of Stockton and Malone, the two. Actually, Malone went three times with the Lakers. He went once, too. They could taste it. They could be like, well, if this ball had gone this way, if this had gone this way. Melo's only made it once past the second round of the playoffs. So, you know, I want to see for his sake, too, to get out of New York. So I think for both sides, I think Melo leaving, freeing up the money, starting fresh in New York, and Melo going after a championship, I want to see this marriage end.
Couple of things. I totally agree with you, and I don't know. I assume they have their first-round pick this year. As far as trading Melo or Rose or anybody, I don't know if they can get a first-round pick. And I'm looking at some of these teams that are missing the playoffs and who potentially could take a point guard, like, you know, maybe that would get them in the lottery. Maybe it's the Pelicans. Maybe it's, you know, the Mavericks, you know, the Kings. Who might want a Derrick Rose? One deal was done the other day, and I feel bad for your boy Mason Plumlee, right? First, Miles was just traded, Plumlee.
I was about to say, both Plumlees, the parents need to now change up.
Yeah, they're throwing Plumlees around. But Mason Plumlee was traded after his car was broken into, and he had to, like, cancel his credit cards, his wallet, I mean, all this stuff. But what's weird is that he goes from the 9th seed up to the 8th seed to the Denver Nuggets, and it's just surprising that they're so close battling each other for that last spot in the West that they would make that deal. And I guess the Blazers got back the center. But I get confused, right? Both those guys have similar names. Did they get the real good one or the one that's not as good? Did they get
Jokic or
Jokic? The one that's not
Jokic.
As good.
Yeah, the one that's not as good. And apparently, and I'm scratching my head on this, apparently.
Second round pick, apparently the
Blazers were going to have a terribly tough time signing Plumlee, which I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, other than Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, and maybe those two guys max you out, but who else are they paying? Where is their money going?
The
Al Farouq Aminu?
Remember, they signed and paid Aminu and Evan Turner to bigger contracts.
I guess, because that's why they had to get a rid of Plumlee. They actually like Plumlee a lot. He's doing great. Mm. He's, you know, like 11 and almost 8, 9 rebounds.
Yeah.
And yet they just made a business decision that they didn't have the money to sign him next year.
It's bizarre. Let's talk about our guy, the current potential most valuable poet on MIC, Russell Westbrook. We knew, and we both predicted on Friday that, you know, he would win the war or win the battle and lose the war. And look, the cupcakes came and they put the frosting and the cake on top of OKC and they make the Jell-O pudding pops. And you can call the Warriors what you want, but what you're going to probably call them is champs and the most efficient team in NBA history when it's all said and done. And that was a whooping. And, you know, I'm starting to actually feel bad for Westbrook because the team didn't really build it right for him in the offseason. They really haven't acquired any shooters. I get, you know, the whole Oladipo, Serge Ibaka deal. It's another sort of wing athletic player, but he's not a real shooter. And when, you know, with Cantor out and you watch the Thunder play, it's heroic, not just what he's doing, but the fact that they're even the 7th seed and 31 and 20, whatever, 3 or 4. But you know what I mean? Like, he's got no help. So tonight should be fun just to see Westbrook against John Wall and that battle, you know, him and Oladipo against Beal and Wall. But, Ray, it's got to be so frustrating for Westbrook. And, you know, you just I don't even know what to say anymore. But I don't think that friendship is going to be mended for a long time. And the boos were just. It wasn't as bad as LeBron got booed. I thought it was a good, hefty booing. And, you know, what did Durant expect? What did anybody, you know, expect? He didn't win a title. There's not going to be a video tribute. And he deserved to get booed. He went to the arch rival. So, you know, or at least the team that they lost to in Game 7 last year.
I think in 5 years, though, this will change. I think,
yeah.
First of all, it's an outside chance he might pull a LeBron and come back. But
why doubt that?
Why not? With his championship in Golden State and then go back? But put that aside for a sec. The fans needed to treat him better. He left, but you know what? People forget last time. He could have left 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He could have left 4 years ago. He re-upped quietly. He took his money. He didn't even – you know how most people, at least – even if they think they're going to sign, they make the team chase and they make the team at 12:01
yeah.
show up at the door
and
do all that.
When they go sit with other teams, he didn't even sit
and
with nobody.
And he's like, nah, I'm staying here. And remember, he got drafted by the Seattle Supersonics. So he moved from Seattle to Oklahoma City when they were a brand-new team, a brand-new franchise, put in a good 8 years. So – this is what free agency is all about. It's the ability to take your talents wherever you want. So I really don't have any beef with him leaving. Now, you could argue he's a front runner and he went to Golden State and he left his boy Russell Westbrook high and dry. And he didn't – just like LeBron messed up in how he did it with the whole, you know, I didn't call Dan Gilbert. How are you not going to tell Russell Westbrook that you're leaving?
Yeah, you don't send him a text.
That's your guy, right? And so that was a little bit weak. So yeah, again, I think it was more in the execution than it was in the how instead of the what. But what you see is exactly why Durant went, is that Durant has a posse and Russell
and a game
Westbrook
is so easy. How he
is Russell, exactly. It's so,
so
easy. They love the game. They're unselfish. They're supremely talented offensively and not bad defensively, and they play well, probably above their heads a little bit defensively because individually.
And Ray, let's
probably
be honest, it's a big four. It's not a big three because I'm tired of people disrespecting Draymond Green, Ray. He is, you know, and could have won Defensive Player of the Year the last 2 years, you know, battling against Kawhi. Might get it this year. But you saw the game before when he, you know, was a little banged up and Durant wanted him to play. He had a triple-double scoring 4 points, but he had 10 steals, Ray. I mean, 10 steals, I don't know how many assists and rebounds. But
that's
a
crazy.
Triple-double.
He should have scored a little more. He would have put him in really rare air. I think it was like Alvin Robertson.
Yeah. He would have been Alvin Robertson, right?
Hakeem Olajuwon had quadruple-doubles. But, yes, you're 100% right. Draymond Green's a top 20 player in the NBA. You figure they have four of the top 20 on that team.
Easy.
And probably, what, two of the top five. So that team's hard to beat. There's no reason why they're not the odds-on favorite to win it all. You know, they were up 3-1, you know, with a chance to beat Cleveland last year. So, yeah, they're the best team in the game. There's no doubt about it, and that's what Kevin Durant joined.
So the NBA is getting some criticism in a sense that it's just like, we got to just wait to June. Everyone knows it's Warriors, Cavs. But I don't know. I mean, you could argue there were times where it was like, hey, everybody knew it was Lakers, Celtics, you know, da da da. There were a couple of the teams. And I guess maybe this time around, it's the last 2 years, it's a little top heavy. Yeah, we thought last year San Antonio and OKC could compete. This year, we just think maybe it's San Antonio, nobody in the East. But I think the NBA in its history, Ray, has thrived over these sort of, you know, great teams. Does it make it less interesting for you? I mean, because to me, we still love the individual talent that every team has, whether it's Giannis or Hayward or, you know, DeMarcus or Westbrook or Harden. I still think the league is entertaining. How do you view it? And do you think it's a problem, or will the fans just complain and everybody will love it when it gets down to game, you know, the finals and it's LeBron against, you know, the Warriors again?
So it turns out that people like the Goliaths.
Oh,
and
they love
people
it.
People like
the
Lakers and the Celtics, right, going at it in the finals. So I think the league might be in a great place in the sense that it has the best of both worlds, right? It has these two mega teams that are on to meet each other in the finals. And yet they have a lot of storylines. They have the Hardens and the Westbrooks and the up-and-comers. And I wish Karl Anthony Towns' team was winning more, but Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis, and they still have some young studs, and the game is becoming, you know, more wide open, offensive oriented again, crazy athletic. So I think the NBA is fine. I don't think that this can last. So I don't think you can have 5 years in a row, 6 years in a row of Cavs and Warriors. I think at that point people might get tired of it. But now it's still novel. It's like, wow, these three teams. Now, nobody's ever done it before, right? Three straight years of the same matchup. That's a first in NBA history if it happens.
And it's better that it's 1-1 right now. That makes it more interesting, too.
Right. This is the rubber match. But I do think that if next year it was Cavs-Warriors again, and the year after, then I think we'd have a threshold where people would be like, all right, enough already. Enough. I want some new blood. And maybe one of them reaching the finals, but not both of them.
But if we're being honest, how far away is it that somebody interrupts that? Because we know it's probably going to happen this year, so that'll be three. When we look at the Warriors next year, I don't know if anybody, the Clippers or Spurs, are going to do anything to catch them. And the NBA, you know, they've got to switch the trade and the salary cap's fine, but maybe the trading structure for matching the salaries, because it's too difficult to switch your team. The NFL, you feel like, you know, a couple good free agents, draft pick, right, whatever, you know, the Jets or the Rams could be in contention next year. We see it with the Falcons. Well, the NBA, you know, Toronto, Boston, you know, Houston, you know, there's not that much hope in the NBA. Sacramento is not going to be able to compete next year for the chip. Do you know what I mean?
Nope.
So the NBA's got to fix that structurally, and that's what Michelle Roberts and Adam Silver need to work on. Fine, they got this great deal, and they got it early, but, Ray, I think that's where the NBA's got to fix things. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point that if you like dynasties, that's fine, but the problem is, how do you build those dynasties? How do you rebuild? And how do you keep teams involved? And case in point is the NBA is benefiting now from dynasties, right? But we know as old school fans that you might not want to hear this in other parts of the country, but the NBA is better off and is more popular when the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Sixers, the old school power base is good. And right now, except for the Celtics, those four teams are not that good. And they don't look to be any good anytime soon. So the Sixers maybe. I shouldn't say that. The Sixers maybe, but they're probably a few years away. So it comes to a point where even if you're not those four teams, you want to have hope. And the problem is when teams and franchises don't have hope, right? The Sacramento Kings, now luckily for them, they're right near geographically right near the Warriors. But teams need hope, and when you start the season without hope, even if you have an Anthony Davis or even if you have a DeMarcus Cousins, it leads to a bitter taste. So yeah, I agree. The Knicks, the Knicks, the Lakers, those type of teams, Sacramento Kings, Milwaukee Bucks, they have some young talent, but you're not really going into a season thinking you really have a chance. So
yeah.
Yes, the Knicks, those type of teams need to be excited about the season, during the season, but also GMs out there. Also, you want to give GMs some tools. You want to say to yourself, you know what, it's kind of like fantasy, right? Make some trades. That's interesting.
Well, it
That's
makes it exciting for
about.
The league.
It's exciting
right?
for the league. It's exciting for the fans.
Because we love the offseason with free agency, but – it's a lot harder for teams to get better, especially if the free agents are not going, you know, they're kind of all trying to flock together to have two or three super teams. So it makes it really, really difficult for somebody new to kind of interrupt that. We'll see how that plays out. Talking about super teams, Ray, you know, you could say the same thing as we move into college basketball. We'll get into the top 25, but let's talk about sort of what happened this weekend. And you and I were talking off air. It's kind of weird how, you know, Monday is the AP top 25. And then Saturday, I guess the first sort of, you know, seeding of the, you know, top 16, copying the college football rankings, and it was Villanova, Kansas, Baylor, and Gonzaga. So Gonzaga, I think they kind of got robbed being the fourth number one seed, where to me, they've already beaten Arizona and some other teams this year, and now, you know, after St. Mary's twice, I guess we'll have to wait to next Saturday to see where it's at. But at 26-0, they look like they're going to run the table, probably win the WCC to wind up, I think, that would make them 33-0. I would say, to me, Gonzaga clearly needs to be the number one seed, and it's not even close in terms of the number one overall. Where do you see them? And then we can look at, you know, the other seedings and stuff, and no Big Ten teams in the top 16. How do you think Gonzaga should be looked at right now?
The Ziggies. So, Mark Few, first of all, respect. This dude has built an unbelievable program in a place where nobody took them seriously and nobody thought
great
they could do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. However, it depends on your philosophy. It's kind of like MVP, right? Is it the MVP or is it the best player? If Gonzaga played Villanova 10 times, how many times does Gonzaga win and how many times does Villanova win?
I don't know, man. This year it could be 5-5. Gonzaga's
if
good.
It's 5-5, then, if it's 5-5, then you know what? The tie goes to Gonzaga. But if you think it's 6-4 or if you think it's 7-3, then I don't have a problem with ranking Gonzaga. Look, they should be on the number one line, especially if they run the table. I'm okay. But then again, I'm okay with them not being the number one overall seed if you don't think that they could beat Villanova or Kansas or whoever else is a number one and is ranked higher than them. So I kind of want to have my cake and eat it too, right? I don't think, just because the difference in their schedule is so tremendous that two losses but in a tremendously more difficult league and schedule, I think that means something. So,
That's fair. Gonzaga should be a number one. The Big 12 is great and the Big East is decent and Villanova is defending champs. But to have them the fourth number one seed, right now I think they've earned the right. Well, remember, they beat Arizona. Arizona's fifth in the country right now in the AP top 25. So it's not like Gonzaga and St. Mary's was, you know, they beat them twice and they were a top 20 team. So it's not like they haven't, and I think, what did they beat Florida or some other ranked team? So, I mean, Gonzaga's got some good wins. I just think everybody's so hyped up on their conference, but it's also blasphemous, Ray, for people to be like, oh, if they played in the Big Ten, yeah, and right now St. Mary's is 22 today. But if they beat, if they're in the Big Ten, they would have three or four losses. Well, wait a minute, the Big Ten's having a down year. Yeah, I love my Terps, they're 23. Let's be honest, Purdue and Wisconsin, they didn't even make the top 16. And Purdue 16, Wisconsin is where? They moved up to somewhere. They moved down to 11. So let's be honest. I mean, Gonzaga could be in the Big Ten and still be undefeated. It's not like the Big Ten is so great.
Absolutely. And by the way, if Gonzaga was in the Big Ten, they'd also get better recruits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? They're recruiting out of
a
Power Five conference. So,
which makes that argument, exactly, you're right. It makes that argument even sillier.
They deserve a number one seed. Like I said, I'm okay if they're not number one overall. Maybe four is a little dramatic, but if they're two, you know, I can live with that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, big week for Kansas, right? I mean, they're, you know, AP is still Gonzaga, Villanova, Kansas, Baylor, Arizona, UCLA, Oregon, Louisville down to five in the Sweet 16, on the 16 ranking. West Virginia 9, and then our Tar Heels 10. Let me ask you this. Can Kansas survive this week, Ray? Because some good battles, one at home tonight hosting West Virginia, which is...
That's a rematch of that loss that they got in Morgantown.
Exactly. That's a tough one. And then they go to Baylor. Could Kansas wind up getting swept this week, or do they wind up rising to the top and beating both these teams, which would probably separate them and put them even ahead of Villanova and make them number two? What do you think happens with Kansas?
You got to rise up.
Rise up.
I think they rise up. I think they take revenge on West Virginia, and I think they eke out a victory against Baylor and they win two. Now, if they lost two, would I be shocked? No, because West Virginia is a tough team to prepare for, because Huggy Bear and his press is just one of those things where if you don't have the athletes, you can't even prepare for them in practice.
That's
and,
right.
You know, Baylor's a pretty good team. Baylor's a legit top five team themselves. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I think Bill Self turns the corner in February. His teams know what it takes to win, and they'll be fine. Frank Mason Jr., Graham, this kid Josh Jackson, the only thing he can't do is shoot free throws. But by the way, there's a lot of Josh Jacksons out there, and can we throw some love for Justin Jackson?
Ooh,
so I think your next child, you need to
know
Justin Jackson. But there's two of them. Right, the Maryland Justin Jackson and the Carolina Justin Jackson.
And they're both good.
And they're both pretty good.
You know, Maryland is really good, and I love Justin Jackson. Him and Barry for North Carolina, they could be the keys to a Final Four run for our Tar Heels. Got to give Virginia Tech a props for upsetting Virginia. I think North Carolina, this could be a week where they move up if they win at NC State and then, you know, beat Virginia next weekend. So, look, it's going to be great college basketball, good NBA. Watch Kawhi Leonard and Paul George tonight. You want to talk a matchup of probably two of the top five small forwards. That's those two guys are right there with Durant and LeBron. So that should be fun to see Paul George and Kawhi go at it, just like Westbrook and John Wizzy. So great show. You know, I guess tomorrow, Ray and Tay, you know, we got a special guest, so we'll rock that and have a special show for you on Friday, All-Star Weekend. So it should be very, very interesting as we get into the All-Star break and the trade deadline, and then hopefully next week we'll have some guests for you to talk about the trades and the Knicks. Somebody who's been covering the Knicks and very busy, so we'll get you ready for that. So Ray and Tay is planning some big shows for you coming up February and into March. So should be tons of fun, Ray.
Absolutely. So go enjoy the sports week. Kick back. Check back with us during the week. Check us on social media, and we'll be back with our full regular show, regular time, Friday.
Have a great sports week.
We're out.